preach, and thankful for Brother Rice. And Brother Rice is a lot of times up in every Sunday morning. You don't get a chance to go to Sunday school, adult Sunday school at all. But he has a great time up there, and hopefully he won't make us play Simon Says, and we'll just get right to the message. But Brother Rice, why don't you come and preach to us tonight?
Man, preacher said I had till 10 o'clock tonight.
Yeah.
So, it's that was a joke, brother. All right, amen. Praise the Lord.
I'm dropping stuff here.
Amen. So, good evening, church. It's good to see everybody. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to preach like I lead music, Lord willing. All right, and make a whole lot of mistakes. All right, praise God. But hopefully you get a blessing out of the message tonight, Lord willing, and I just want to be a help to you tonight, all right? So if you would you take your Bibles out, and we'll get right into it. I want you to turn to the book of Acts chapter 9, the book of Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 9. How many of you here have dogs? How many of you here have dogs? Okay, amen. We went on a vacation a little while ago, and when we got back, Nico just, that's our dog's name. It's like this 120-pound moose, and he just had an episode not that long ago at our house where he gets this one ear back, and he knows he's going to do something bad, and he had that ear back, and he's just kind of looking around like, oh, it's been a while, you know, and then he darts around the house, downstairs, upstairs, and we're chasing him around, and he's bringing stuff up that's tore up, obviously, but hey, he's a blessing, so you guys know the struggle, amen? Praise the Lord. I remember Pastor, when I told him I got a puppy. And he's like, have you been hearing the preaching? He says, you're serious, brother? I was like, yeah, I got a dog, you know. Yeah, I think he was right, amen. I think he was right. So praise the Lord. All right, Acts chapter 9. And we're going to go ahead and we are going to pick up a very familiar verse in the Bible, very, very familiar historical account in the Bible, the conversion of Saul, amen. Conversion of Saul and how he, as we say, ran into the gospel, amen. So Acts chapter 9, we're going to start here in verse number 1. Verse number 1. It says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, God in heaven, our King, our Savior, our friend, our sustainer, Lord, the one that takes care of us and meets our every need. We thank you so much that we have another day, Lord. You've given us another day. Thank you for the sunshine and the beautiful weather we've had. It's hot, Lord, but we love it, Lord. We're not shoveling snow right now, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we just thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for this opportunity to preach behind this pulpit where some of my personal heroes have preached, and Lord, I just love this. I am humbled. I am grateful, Lord, and Lord, I am scared, but Father, your grace is sufficient, Lord. And I just pray that you give me everything that you want me to say, and you would cut me off when there's something I'm going to say that I should not, Lord. And I thank you, Lord. I just want to be a blessing to my home church, Lord. And be with those that are at camp. Pray that right now as we're praying, Lord, that you'd be touching the hearts of all of those young people. We say it flippantly, Lord, but we really want to see them come back on fire to get something out of the preaching and teaching of your words down there in Pennsylvania, Lord. And Father, I pray that transitions up here, Lord, and they would just be on fire for the things of the Lord. We pray that we hear of some life decisions made, Lord. Maybe someone would be called to preach, Lord. We love you, Father, and I need you desperately, Lord. I don't want to do this without you, Lord. All is vain unless your spirit is with me, Lord. And I pray it is, Lord. If there's anything on me that's left undone, Lord, I put it under the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, and I beg for your forgiveness, Lord. I don't want to be a hindrance to the service tonight. We love you, Lord, and I love you. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Acts chapter 9, as I read here earlier, we have Saul here, Saul, here in the book of Acts chapter 9, Acts, a transition book, amen, and it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest," going down to in the middle of verse 2 here, "and letters to Damascus, the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." We get a little background on what Saul was doing, amen. "And as he journeyed, there came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven." All right. Just recently, we went on a vacation. Went on a last family vacation before my eldest daughter gets stolen from the family. All right. That's not true. She's getting married. Amen. August 12th. Amen. Praise the Lord to Paul Perdicone. Amen. He's a blessing of a young man. I really do appreciate him. I appreciate his heart and just how gentle he is. He's the exact opposite I am. You know, he's something. He doesn't talk much. I talk too much. Amen. But praise the Lord. You just pray for that if you think about it. Many of you here are invited to it. But anyway, we were on that vacation, and we went to a place called Massanutten? I don't know how to pronounce it. It's subjective. Amen. But it's in Virginia, and they had an indoor water park, and partly outdoors. And we went on some of those slides and some of those rides, me and my children, and I realized that, you know, I'm not young, like, it hurts me to say that, like I used to be going down some of those things. I get a little worried, like I might not make it back up to go down again, amen. And I'll tell you, I thought of this message, the Lord put this on my heart, going down one of those water slides, amen. So as we're there, and we're outside, and we're going down some of those slides, and I mean, we're talking 20-foot drop-offs in a slide, in a cylinder, and then, you know, water, and it was fun, but it was kind of, your stomach kind of comes up in your throat a little bit. Well, by the end of it, we decided to go inside, went down the lazy river, amen, and we were in the hot tub a little bit, praise the Lord, and then my kids came and got me, my daughters, my son, and they said, "Dad," they said, "there's this water slide in the inside, you got to go down it, and it's pitch black." I'm like, why would I want to do that? What in the world? And so Braden's like, "Come on, Dad, come on." I was like, "All right, let's go." So we go in it, and it has this rail. You have to run and grab the rail and slingshot yourself through it. I'm like, "Oh, I'm kind of liking this, you know. All right, praise the Lord." So he's, and I have to wait for this light. They have a stop, they have a green light and a red light. I'm like, "Man, this must be serious. They got stoplights, traffic lights here." So I grab it, I swing, I let go, I go down in it, and he and my daughters are not kidding, it was pitch black. You're going down, and you feel you're slamming up against the side of the cylinder. You can't see anything. I'm got my hands as I'm in the tube, and I can't even. I'm looking for them. I really can't see anything. Looking for my feet. I can't. All I can feel is water. And every time I open my mouth, it's going to my mouth and my face. And oh my goodness, you can't see anything. And then after a while, about 10 or 15 seconds, I'm going, "Man, when is this going to end? I can't see anything. I'm getting a little nervous. Is this going to end? I don't want to be caught off guard into a complete drop off into darkness." Amen. So finally, towards the end, I'm like, "Oh, it's like this big. It's just a little bit of light, and all of a sudden it gets brighter, 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 and whoo, and then water. Bright light flashes and blinds, and then you're in water, and I'm like looking like I don't know how to swim, because I kind of really don't. But anyway, I do a little bit. I'm just kidding, a little bit. But and then the light comes, amen? Then the light comes, and then I just started thinking about that. And the Lord brought to me Acts chapter 9 here, when the light bursts forth. Amen. When the light bursts forth. And we see here with Paul, okay, that the light bursts forth in Paul's life. Before he was Paul, he was Saul. Amen. And he had a past. Amen. My first point, the light bursts forth, as we see, through Paul's past. Through Paul's past. Right here in chapter 9, we see he was yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Paul, before he was Paul, was Saul, and he was nothing nice, amen, to Christians. He was an enemy of God. He was a foe of God's, amen. Though the Bible says he was a Pharisee, he was a Jew of Jews, he was studied in the law, he's very educated, amen. But he was an enemy of God. Why? Because he was leading Christians potentially to their death, to jail. It says men and women. Amen. So we see that Paul was on his way to do no good to Christianity. But little did he know God had other plans for him. And it says here in verse 3, as he journeyed, He came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Praise the Lord, a light from heaven. Go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 quickly. I'm going quickly here. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Amen. And we're going to go to verse number 1. Or actually, not verse number 1. Verse number 5. And it says, this is the message. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5. This is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That describes Paul to me. That light from heaven came down and his life was changed forever. Life was changed forever. As that light came down, he fell to the ground and his entourage that was with him had no idea what was going on. They're hearing things. Saul is blinded. He hears a voice that says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He says, who art thou, Lord? He says, I am the one that thou persecutest. I want you to know it's hard to kick against the pricks. His next question just blows my mind. He says, what would thou have me to do? An enemy of God, not a child, an enemy on the other side, leading Christians to their captivity, potentially their death. Now, after a light comes into his life, all of a sudden wants to serve God and says, hey, Lord, what would thou have me to do? I don't know much about you, but I know that you brought me to my knees. What would thou have me to do? And it's interesting, he asks the question, who art thou, Lord? He knew who he was. Who else could do something like that? Could come through your life with a bright light like that and change everything on a spot. Praise the Lord for that. And I see this example that the light shined through Paul's past, my first point, through Paul's past. Church, I know that some of us have been there. We have pasts. Amen. We have pasts, much like Saul did. A Pharisee. Says he was a Pharisee. Amen. When I looked that definition up, it says one of a sect among the Jews whose religion consisted in a strict observance of rites and of ceremonies and of traditions of the elders, and whoso pretended holiness led them to separate themselves as a sect, and listen to this, considering themselves as more righteous than other Jews. Sounds like a straight religion to me. But he goes from that, from being self-righteous, so to speak, all righteous, we're right, we have the law, we had Abraham, we had Moses, to bam. Now he's teaching and preaching in synagogues, telling people they need to be saved, they need to be born again, and telling them about Christ. And he's giving testimony to leaders and such of how he got saved. Nobody can do that except Christ. And we know that light was him, as we see in 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Who else? What other light can do that? He says, for God is light. Aren't you glad, Christian, that God interceded in your life? That he intervened in your life? Some of us have crazy pasts. I may be one of them. I know one of them. Pastor talked about Brother Stephen Hagen a while ago. I remember praying with him down here in the old sanctuary. Him and Brother Grip. Brother Parzynski. Lenny Parzynski. First time I met him, just about took my hand off. He's like, hey, brother. How's try to walk, okay, let go now, right? This is Walker. You know, I don't know what he's saying, but man, I loved it. You know what I used to do? We were down there praying. I used to listen because I couldn't believe all the things I heard about Brother Stephen. Him tell me about his past. Hearing a man, I'm not talking just crying, wailing, weeping while he was praying for others. I couldn't believe it. What a blessing that was. He reminded me a lot of my dad, former military, kind of hardened, you know. What you see is what you get, you know what I mean? But to hear him pray and to pray with him changed my prayer life. What's that? The light came in him and changed him forever, as it did Saul. Church, let me ask you something. Do you remember what it was like before you were saved? Because the Bible makes it very clear we were enemies of God before we were born again. Enemies of God. That's strong wordage. Is that a term? If it's not, I patent it right now. Wordage? Is that strong? Okay. That is, I'm glad I'm not on the wrong side of glory. I'm glad I'm not an enemy of God anymore. Aren't you glad, church? You ought to be. Can I get an amen? You ought to be. I bet you Saul was really glad at the end of his life, writing in 2 Timothy, giving the charge to Timothy. Hey, I've run my race. I finished my course. He was like, I've done it. I did it to the nth degree. I'm just ready to meet my Savior. But out of all that, I bet he was glad. I'm glad the Lord intervened on the road to Damascus in my life. Because, hey, let's face it, church. If we didn't get saved, we'd be heading for hell. Aren't you glad the light intervened in your life? The light shined through Saul's life. We see a little bit here about Paul and what he did and what he was in his past, just to give you a little bit of picture, an overview. This is Paul tells the church of Ephesus. Actually, I'm going a little faster. He was a student of the law, Jew of Jews, a Pharisee. I just read the definition. A persecutor of the church. A persecutor of the church. Amen. We go even back just a little bit to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse 3. It says, and for Saul, he made havoc of the church. That's not a nice word. That's kind of the picture I gave you of my dog earlier. Ran around the house, knocking things over and stuff. He made havoc of the house, people chasing him and everything. That's what Paul did. That's what Saul was doing to the church of God. He goes from murder to minister. He goes from being an enemy to being a son. Praise the Lord for the light of God that shines through our past. Before Paul, we know him as the apostle. As I said, we see him as an enemy of God. An enemy of God. Were we not there, church? Honestly, you look at our past and everything. My wife and I, we always sit down, we talk about the things that we did wrong in our past before we came to Christ. And we don't want that for our kids. Amen? But weren't we there? Sure, we weren't dragging people to their death. We weren't taking people to jail, men and women, because they were serving Christ. No, we weren't doing that. Hey, but it's the same thing when you're sinning. It's all sin in God's eyes, whether you were drinking, whether you were drugging, whether you were looking at that thing when nobody else was looking, whether you fill in the blank with whatever it is. We all know better. We have that still small voice inside of us that says, you ought not to, you shouldn't have done that. And we look at our past now as Christians and we think, man, God, I'm so glad you intervened in my life. I was on my way to hell with my back broke. But praise the Lord that you entered in. Praise the Lord that your light shined through my past. And we see here that Saul, after that light shines through his past, we see that it shines through his present circumstances as a child of God. It shines also through his present circumstances as a child of God. Aren't you glad? Despite Saul's past, God still wanted to use him. God still wanted to change him. God would take him. It would come down and reach a man that was an enemy of God. Think about that just for a second. 1 Corinthians 6:11, at the end there, it says something. Just before that, it gives some names. It gives some things that we were. Go there, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Amen. 1 Corinthians. I believe it's chapter 6, 9 through 10. 9 through 11, rather. Start in verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And look at verse 11, church. We can put our names there. And such were some of you. I don't know about you, but I'm glad God intervened on my behalf one day. And I got saved on Vienna Street in Newark, New York. Came to my own and just messed up my life, tore up in the world's mud, but for the blood, amen. Praise the Lord for a forgiving Savior. Praise the Lord for a Savior that would come down and save a wretch like me, and save wretches like us, amen. Again, before we were saved, we were enemies of God, just like Saul was. But God interceded, since bowing the knee and asking Christ into our heart, we are no longer enemies, but sons, amen. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Amen. The light bursts forth through Saul's past, just like it did in yours. But ye are washed. Romans 8:15. Go there quickly, please. Romans 8:15. Roll to your left just a little bit. Romans 8:15. 8:15. When we got saved, we were no longer enemies of the Lord. But we've become sons. Romans 8:15. So for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of what? Adoption. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Isn't that a thought? Like an orphan, you get adopted. You have a new family, new start. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. The light shined through Saul's past. And as we see here in point number two, the light burst through Paul's present hardships. Shortly after this, this light knocks Saul to the ground. We see that he's blinded. We see he's led by the hand to Damascus to meet Ananias. 3 days without sight, 3 days no eating, 3 days no drinking, given a vision, or Ananias was given a vision to meet Saul. Ananias knows, he's like, man, I know this guy. He's wreaked havoc on the church. You sure about this, Lord? And then puts hands on him and calls him Brother Saul. Showing a significant change. He's probably seeing this man that may have had a reputation as a Jew or as a Pharisee, as a wild man when it came to dealing with Christians, but now he sees a man that's blind, probably feeling around and everything, and humbled incredibly, probably saw something different, put his hand on him. Man, Brother Saul. Church, can I ask you, does the world see something different in you since the light burst through your past? I know sometimes, just the other day at work, I had a situation. Me and Brother Ray were talking about it. We were dealing with something, and we were kind of, it's good to have another brother at work. That's all I got to say, that you could say things to and everything and be like, man, I don't know, he's man. I'm thinking, I almost lost my salvation. It was a good thing. Hey, I'm just being real with you. There's times as a Christian that I don't feel like acting like a Christian. But then I have to remember, when I look at that individual, that situation, that individual in particular, and say, and such were some of you. Yeah, Lord, I'm guilty. And he says, but ye are washed. So act like it, Eric, right? So he tells him, well, all right, Lord. And you're like, I'm sorry. But praise the Lord for that. See, the light bursts through his present hardships. And as Ananias meets him and he receives his sight, Saul eats and he's strengthened in Acts chapter 9, 19 through 20. He preaches Christ. Shortly after all that, he doesn't know anything, but then he's out there in the street, as I put it, just a term. The Bible doesn't say that, but I'm just saying. I'm preaching, I'm saying it's in there. No, I'm just kidding. But he's out there, he's doing, he's preaching. What a change. It's something, what a significant change in somebody's life. What evidence of a change. And by the way, there ought to be evidence that the light shined through our past and the Lord is with us through our present by our actions. People ought to see Christ in us. Through our actions and what we say, they ought to be like, that man, he's a Christian. There's something different about him. Just like they did with the disciples who were first called Christians at Antioch. Because they remind me of somebody. They remind them of Christ because of the way they acted, the things that they said. As I was telling my wife a while ago, stuff was revolutionary, especially this thought of forgiveness. I'm supposed to forgive you because you hurt me? Really? I'm more blood bullets than the wrath of God. I want to forgive you. A man that had the power created the heavens and the earth and the stars also, he forgave. Could have called himself off the cross at any point in time. Could have called down 12 legions of angels and settled this thing with a bunch of sinners. But yet held himself up there for you and I. Wow. That's powerful. That's something I just can't wrap my head around. And when I feel like totally losing it, I just bring it, Lord, I know. You did it for me. And I can forgive others. Amen. Amen. And he preaches Christ. And we see countless people that get saved. Amen. We see Paul, he preaches at Ephesus. He starts these churches, at the church of Corinth, right? The church of Colossae, the church of Galatia, of Thessalonica. And it goes on more and more. And we see a significant change in this man as the light bursts through his past. It's gone. He said, behold, all things are become new. Amen. All those old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. New, amen. And we see the example of Paul doing that. The light burst through his past. The light burst through his present hardships. We see Paul was stoned and taken outside the city of Lystra. And the Bible says, supposing he had been dead, for what? For preaching the gospel. Oh boy, dusts himself back off and goes right back. We see also here, we see the story of the Philippian jailer that gets saved and his whole family. Hey, they are beaten. Him and Silas are beaten and they're put in the inner prisons. They start praying and singing praises. And what happens? The gates open, not just to their cell, but everybody's. And what happens? They see that Philippian jailer get saved and his whole family. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, go there quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if you would. I appreciate you folks tonight flipping through the pages. Verse 22, it says, are they Hebrews? Or verse 21, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. How be it, where and soever, any is bold. I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundantly. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. Of the Jews, verse 24, five times received I 40 stripes save one. Verse 25, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I was shipwrecked. And night and day I have been in the deep, in journeys oft, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among the false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. 28, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Light shined through his present circumstances as a child of God. I wish I could sit here and tell you, church, that after you get saved, it's all good in God's hood. Right? He understood what I was saying. Yeah, you did too. Don't I? But praise the Lord. But it's not. I mean, Pastor Huber used to say, the flat tire happens to the lost person as it does saved person. Sometimes how we react is the exact same. Especially when it's raining on the side of the road and a ball and a wheel bearing goes. Oh. Been there, done that. The light shined through his past. The light shined through his present circumstances. Again, church, I wish I could tell you it was all good after that, after you get saved, but that's just not true. But I can tell you this, that through all that, Christ will be with you, and he'll show himself to you as he did Paul. You say, easy for you to say, preacher, you haven't gone through. You're right, I haven't. You can sit up there and tell us that, but... Oh, and I'm breaking stuff again. All right. Let me try that again. I didn't mess anything up too bad, did I? Okay, all right, cool. You say, well, but preacher, I got to tell you, you don't understand. I was praying for so-and-so, and that didn't work out. I was begging God for forgiveness, but I still stumble. I was begging him to take this thing from me, this thorn in my flesh, and it's still there. Christ is also there too. And he loves you, and he says, his grace is sufficient. I sit here and tell you that it's all going to be great, but that's just not it. It's not. The Bible tells us that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Like, we don't know it. I mean, we're talking about persecution. Like, we don't have a grasp really what persecution is for Christ here, right? Amen? Are we going to agree to that? But we do. As Christians, we have a target on our back. The day we get saved, there's a target on our back from that adversary. We now have an enemy, and he knows it. And we should too. And that's not easy. We go through things. Some of you folks in here have been through some of the most painful physical, emotional things a person can go through with Christ. And can I tell you, and I'm just going to first say, you know, stepping aside here, I appreciate how some of you folks have handled that. Because I've seen Christ through you, and it has just blessed my heart. And when things come up in my life, it just gives me that much more pause to say, man, brother so-and-so, assistant so-and-so, they can. They look to God. I can do the same. My dad said, well, my mom passed away. He says, I don't know how people get through this without a church family and being saved in Christ. I heard a story of a Department of Homeland Security agent that his job was tasked with sex trafficking, with trafficking of children. And he had a specific story. It's not too graphic, that's why I picked this one. But he was undercover, and he was in this situation in a foreign country, and he said, I had to pretend I was Americans, just had first dibs. They have money, they're Americans, right? And they said, you want? And he says, yeah, that one right there. It was a little boy, little boy. And he had made a promise to find this pastor of this country. His son was abducted. So he made a promise to this pastor, went to house after house, regained more and more children, but did not find the son. He gets to this one situation, this one house, and he sees this little boy. Well, little did he know, this little girl kept following the boy around and found out they were brother and sister. So without breaking his cover, he figured it out that she was very smart and everything like that, and they raided the place and they saved the both of them. And the father of the boy that he promised, that pastor, was in a hotel room, and he says, he had to go to that hotel room because they thought for sure his son was there. He went to the hotel and told him it wasn't your son. And he was heartbroken about that. The DHS agent was heartbroken about that. The pastor looked at him in the eye and says, what are you crying for? He says, I made you promise. I'm still going to be at this thing. We're going to get your son. He goes, if my son hadn't been abducted, these 28 children would have never been saved. They would have never been brought back. He goes, you keep doing what you're doing. He goes, if 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 children get saved and my son never comes back, it was worth it. It's a hard pill to swallow. What's that? That's a light shining in a very, very, very dark place. A pastor with such wisdom and understanding and just the heart that he has, I can't even imagine, would say something like that. You know, a football coach named Tony Dungy went through something similar. He was on a radio show. His son had committed suicide. He had died. And I don't know what this guy was doing, trying to cause strife or whatever, but Coach Dungy handled it just beautifully. I asked him a question. They said, if you could have your son back today, no holds barred right here, right now, would you? He says, my first answer would be absolutely yes. He says, when I look at all the people that gave their lives to Christ through his death, and he stopped right there. What's that? That's a light shining through a very, very, very dark place. We see the light shine through Saul's past. We see that the light shine through his circumstances of his present, that he was presently in. And it's not just Saul. It's not just Paul, church. We look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in their darkness in the fiery furnace. What happens? A dark place. They're going to be killed. And who shows up in the fiery furnace with them? Nothing but that looks like Christ. It looks like the Son of God. Amen. We see Daniel, who's in the lion's den. Amen. A dark, dark hour in his life. And what happens? God comes down and shuts the mouth of those lions. What's that? Light shining in a dark place. We see Abraham is brought to the top of a mountain to sacrifice his only son. And he says, hold it. The Lord says, hold it. I know you're serious. What's that? That's a dark situation which the light shows up. Countless and countless times in the Bible, we see that the children of Israel constantly turn their back throughout the Old Testament on the Lord and Savior, on God Himself, their Father, the one who named them after His own, called them His own people. And every time they messed up, they said, Lord, we're sorry. And He forgave them. And then He helped them. We see David as he fights the giant, Goliath. Even when he's chosen, nobody wanted him. He was in the back tending his sheep. What's that? That's a light shining in a dark situation. The light shined through Saul's past. The light shined through his present circumstances as a child of God. And lastly, church, lastly, light shined through his death. As he was prepared, writing that second letter to Timothy. And go there with me, if you would, as I'm closing. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. So we will be there before I am. And 2 Timothy. Oh, come on, Racy. 2 Timothy. Amen, 2 Timothy. There we go. Chapter 4. He says in verse 1, he says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead and his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. You're skipping down here a little bit. It says in verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. What is that? That's in the end, when he knows it's about to come. It's about to be over. I've ran my race. As we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the God of all comfort. Paul is comforted by God in his end days here. He said, I've done all that you asked me to do, Lord. I'm ready. Before my mom passed, a long time, for a couple years, she used to always say that. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. And man, that used to make me so mad. Like, Mom, stop saying that. She's like, I'm ready. Baby, I'm ready. She clapped. Baby, I'm ready. Oh, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to leave this world. And me and my brothers look at each other, just roll our eyes. And, my goodness. Mom, stop it. My last conversation with her when she was in the hospital, I said, Mom, I said, I love you. She's like, I love you too. And I was singing to her on the phone. And at the end, she said, amen. My mom never feared death, because she knew her Savior. Paul didn't fear death, because that light burst through him on the road to Damascus, and he knew his Savior. Through all those hardships, through all that toil, all those perils, he didn't die. Then Christ got him through it. The Lord got him through it. Church, the Lord can get you through yours. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. I don't know personally, whatever, but I know we all have them. And can I tell you, just like it did for Paul, it can for you. He's the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. Amen. Preacher, why don't you come?
Appreciate that, Brother Rice. Burst from the light through your past, through the present, through his death. In 2 Timothy 4:17, it says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. What a great testimony. What a great testimony. Is that yours tonight? Maybe you're encouraged tonight. If God can use Paul, he can use you. Oh, my past is what? It's not worse than Paul's. If it is, we need to talk. Well, I don't know if he's got a job for Paul, he's got a job for you. And through all of that, a life lived, he had no regrets. And that should encourage our hearts in the Lord. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed tonight. All that from going down a water slide. Who would have thought? Man, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. God, thank you for what you've done in our life. Although our testimonies are different, there is a common thread through it all. That God, you've made a significant change in this very moment, and you've given us something to look forward to. God, help us to stay faithful until then. Lord, even in the hardships of life, even in the hardships of serving you, God, I pray that we maintain that testimony that you stood with us and strengthened us. Lord, we need your help. We need your grace. We need your strength. What a great reminder to us tonight. Watch over us now. Protect us as we travel home. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.